And now for our next solo, Don Hartson. No, we won't. Thank you so much, guys. Good to have all the guys here on a Sunday morning. It's been a long time since we've had a Sunday morning. We sang last Saturday over at Calvert Road, and one of the folks over there said, you guys need to get together and make a CD, make a tape. And I told him, I said, we've been working on that. The only problem is we've been listening to the tape. So that's not working out too well. So we're going to keep practicing. We're going to keep practicing over there. What a thrill to be here on such a fun day. I was going to mess with him. I was going to bring Paul up and have him sit up here and be the, Folks, Matt was talking about Thanksgiving and how it's probably his favorite holiday and about his overeating. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yes. These are two brothers that can eat. We are professional eaters. We can show you how in case you have any questions. But the thing that I enjoy most is, and I don't know how many years we've been doing this, Paul, but during this time of year, we go hunting. Now, you may be a fan of hunting. You may think it's the worst thing, and I need to kneel down at the altar and pray for God's forgiveness for hunting God's creatures and all like that. We do not go out, per se, for the sport of the hunting. For us, it is a family tradition. I know I was about, 10 when I first went to a farm over in, I guess that's Amherst, or is that Nelson County? I'm not sure which county it is. We went to a relative's farm over there. We started in squirrel hunting back when I was just 10. When I was 12, 13, we were up there hunting, Paul, about the same age as we did. And for year after year, we've made it our goal is to get together on opening day of deer season, which was yesterday. And we make it our goal to hike to the top of the mountain. I told you how high that mountain's getting every year. It gets taller and taller. And yesterday, we made it. We got to the top of the mountain, and this is a great spiritual lesson for you. Because it is where your attitude is. It is where your desire is. It is not always what the result is. Let God take care of the results. We got to the top of that mountain. It is so beautiful. You can look out and see vistas for many, many miles in every direction, except for yesterday. When we got there yesterday to the top, you probably could see from here to about the third pew because the fog was so heavy. It was absolutely socked in, and we're up there and we're going, oh, the fog's going to lift. Oh, the fog's going to lift. Oh, the fog's going to lift. And finally, Paul says, the fog's going to lift tomorrow. So down off that mountain we came. And for all day yesterday, for last night, to have the opportunity to bring your brother to church with you, which I absolutely love, and what a thrill. And a lot of you know Paul, and he loves his church, folks. He's helped us out around here during different times that he's worked and been working here in the area. He lives down in the Virginia Beach area. Retired 26-year Navy man. Something to be very proud of. And I want to begin, before I read the scripture, with a little story. This was during World War II. It is said that during World War II, that housing was in very short supply. And a lady, it is said, with such great intentions, she expressed sympathy to a little girl whose family did not have a house to live in. And she said to the little girl, it's too bad your family doesn't have a home. And this is the reply the little five-year-old gave. She says, ma'am, we have a home. We just don't have a house to put it in. We have a home. We just don't have a house to put it in. Now, it doesn't matter the location. I feel that God has given us a family and a home here at Mount Calvary. I know when Paul comes up, he mentions, and we talk about it on the way back down. We will talk about all the folks that got to see today and what's going on in people's lives and whether or not there'll be fog on the mountain tomorrow and all these things that we'll chat about on the way. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making this church feel like a home. And you folks feeling like family. That does not mean that we get along all the time. Do you know any family that does? Amen. You should be saying no, bro. Amen. But there is care and there is compassion and there is understanding. And when you are dealing with something within your life, whether it's a great loss, whether it's a great challenge, whether it's surgery tomorrow, whatever you are going through your life at that time, I feel very confident that God has given us in His way a bit of heaven here on earth by allowing us to have a family caring one for another. And I thank you for that. In the book of, and I'm going to, trust me, I'm preaching very, very quickly. I can smell the food downstairs also. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above and not on things earth. And then I'll drop down to the 12th. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I love that. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. The 15th verse ends, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for today. Allow us now to focus upon that thing you would have for each one of us. We ask in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. A recipe for an overcoming. A recipe for a life that is to be lived richly and fully. For all that God wants to do for each and every one of us. First of all, remember your identity. Remember who you are. I am a child of the King. I've said it many times, they can have all the names over here they want to, but that is still God's girls over in that class. I'm sorry, Miss Ruby. I know everybody says Ruby's class, but let me tell you, it is still God's girls when they walk out of that room. Remember, you've got to focus on your position in Christ. Everything starts there. I am a child of the King. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to die upon that cross for me and for you. It begins with my identity of who I am in Him. Focus on who you are to Christ. Secondly, and this is the thing where we get a little more challenged, you got to renew your thought life. We must focus our minds on things above. Focusing our minds on things above. We must raise new eternal standards. As I'm walking down, just before we started into singing today, I'm going through and people are greeting, and the love that I feel and the warmth, the kindness I feel here. And then Miss Sally, although she can't find her seat, I'll tell you what she can do. She can grab me by the arm and she goes, well, where is Jane? Where is John this morning? We have care for those individuals, and I don't know if they're a bit under the weather. Normally they would be here today. What a joy to see them last week back from their the travels, how exciting it is when our focus is on lofty things. You said, what do you mean lofty things? Lofty things are simply thinking about others before you think about yourself. Plain and simple. Allowing the needs of others to be the number one focus in your prayer life will change things, folks. Being willing to extend what God lays upon your heart to do for someone else, it will help you to renew your thought life. Your thought life. Third thing, and you should be smiling and saying amen, because I only got 4 points and I'm on number 3 already. I hear some amens out there in between the stomach growlings. You got to release past habits. What's that phrase? Put away old things. And I have a sentence here. We must put off the old like taking off a worn out set of clothes. Except in this instance, I'm going to use a wore out pair of shoes. My brother and I on Friday rolled in. My father is sitting out on the porch. He loves to sit outside. So many times I pulled in the driveway, see him sitting outside. The first thing you notice when you walk up to the porch, he's got on a new pair of shoes. Didn't he, Paul? Oh, these things are black. They are shiny. They look wonderful. And my first comment is this, oh, do you like your new shoes? And with all excitement, with all just bubbling over inside him, he goes, I didn't buy them. I didn't pay a thing for them. She got them. And he pointed back inside. There you go. Because the shoes that he'd wore the previous week when I were up there were virtually air-conditioned. You could even choose about where you put the foot in the top or kind of in the side. The strings were kind of worn and tattered and all like that. And I just mentioned no more than a month ago, I said, Pop, you ought to think about a pair of new shoes. And I got with disdain, son, these things are good for years more. What are you talking about? It's pretty difficult at age 88 to get him convinced that he might need a new pair of shoes. But he did. And he liked them. And he started telling me about how the soles were nice and soft. And about how, with the cold weather coming, his toes might not get quite as cool as they were getting in the old shoes. He put on a new pair of shoes. And guys, we're tough on doing that. I have my favorites. I can remember many years ago when here in this church, I would come in, and Brother Ed Campbell, what a fine man of God before he went to be with the Lord. What a wonderful inspiration. And his wife, Evelyn. And they bribed me to go to their house. Both of them were on a mission. And I was a part of that mission. I was a very innocent pawn in it all. She said, I will make you lunch if you will do me a favor. Bring your pickup. And she had gone into the place that he called his own, his lair, his man cave, called his garage, and she had bagged up certain items that she felt in her heart were no longer necessary for him to have. And she would sit these bags out, and she said, now without him seeing you, you grab these bags and you place them on the back of your truck. Unbeknownst to her, Brother Ed would come to me. Said, Charlie, I need you to do me a favor. And I'm willing to buy you dinner for this. I would take her inside and make sure she did not go to the window for a certain short period of time. As I did that, he would go out to my truck, grab those bags, and back in the garage he would go. This is a true story, my friends. This is a true story. And they were so far ahead of their time, the first couple, I never ever knew that recycled without even knowing what recycling was. Because there were just certain things that he said, I cannot give up. She would say, honey, you've bought 8 or 10 of the same thing. He said, I just can't give it up. Sometimes you got to put on a new pair of shoes. Finally, you got to replace those old habits with new ones. It's not that hard to do. You got to fill your life with, I think, good habits. You got to fill your life, as it says in God's word, with kindness. You got to fill it with humility, with meekness, with long-suffering. You got to fill it with bearing one another and forgiving one another. Amen? Amen. My father, trust me, and you would do the same thing. If you were going to go out to buy a new pair of shoes, you wouldn't take your shoes and throw them away first, would you? No, you wouldn't do that, would you? But what happens? You go get that new pair of shoes. And although, oh, it's different, I don't know if I'm going to like them. I don't know. You can be all negative you want to, but guess what? You put those new shoes on. Well, they got a little better sole than the old ones do. They keep out the air a little better than the old ones do. And after you put them on, and you start walking around with them a little bit, you realize how comfortable they are. Then what do? Take that old pair and it just goes in the trash can. By replacing some of those things that we have in our life with new things, by making our focus on those things that are lofty, I believe we get closer to what God wants us to be. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray here in just a second. And we're going to invite everybody to go downstairs and share a meal with us. We want you to just enjoy yourselves. We want you to just fellowship and make sure you tell the ladies how nice it looks down there and what a wonderful job they've done. We want you to tell Brother Bob and give him a little hug over there. You ladies, you might want to time that hug. Don't let him get going too long. Tell him how much you care for him. Share with him his loss. Tell all the guys that you heard this morning. I'll tell you one thing, folks. This is a church where we have truly been blessed in. And we thank each and every one of you for being a part. I'm going to pray, and I'm actually going to bless this food, because usually we go downstairs and everybody's waiting for me to get downstairs and bless the food. I'm going to bless it right now. So those with you with hungry stomachs can go down and grab your plate and go eating right off the bat. I am going to encourage you, if you're in physically good shape and you'd like to take the nice walk around the outside, these steps from the outside are much safer than these little small ones going down, especially with people with big feet, brother. That's a cousin. I can say that to him. He's that family. That's that love-hate thing, you know, we were talking about earlier. And just carry with you the joy of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today. We have sung songs and praises unto you. The thanksgiving that we have within our hearts, the praise that we have for you that Brother Matt prayed about early on, Heavenly Father, we felt it in your house today. We thank you for each one taking part in the service. We thank you most of all for the wonderful comments we heard, praises unto your name for the good things that you're doing within our lives. Now, Heavenly Father, we also have needs, and you heard those. We especially pray for John and Jane. We pray for Gisela tomorrow with this surgery. We pray for so many physically, whether it's a spine, whether it's just cancer, whatever it is, Heavenly Father. We just pray that your will be done and you will bring healing to our bodies. You will bring healing to our minds and healing to our spirits. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We hope that, Heavenly Father, we'll draw closer simply by being here in your presence. We hope that hearts have been touched. And, Heavenly Father, if we need to If we need to add some new shoes in our life, you just come in and take out that part that needs to go and the new one that needs to come in. Give us safe traveling mercies after we've had a time of fellowship and meal. Bless this food and the hands that have prepared it. And Heavenly Father, we will do our best to thank you and give you the praise you so richly deserve. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.